If I call the preacher's name, it would mean nothing to you. In fact, he's not even preaching anymore. But they were telling me that this preacher had preached about every night something like this: the church is bad. This is bad, and that's bad, and the other's bad. You people here don't know how to pray. I don't like your songbooks. And it went on from there, just about everything was bad. Church is going to go under in spite of all that he was doing to try to save it. My father said, "Son, I'll tell you, we did wrong." So we advertised in the Jackson County Sentinel, the local paper, that we were going to have a gospel meeting at Union Hill. But it's false advertising because there was not much gospel preached. Mama, about 4'7", looked at me. She still called me Dal Edwards, the only person in the world that did that. She said, "Dal Edwards, you know what I believe all about that? About the church going under and so on, what I think about it?" She said, "I don't believe it." And I expect she was right, not because it happened to be her, but our inspired friend Daniel had something to say along those lines. In Daniel 2:44, he said, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever." Forever and ever it shall stand. Somebody had been very gracious to ask about the late Lester Flatt, who died in May of 1979. We're just distant cousins. Lehman and Lester were bosom friends, more like brothers, but blood-wise, just distant cousins. You older ones, if you remember Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs, you younger ones may have seen the reruns of Beverly Hillbillies or something. They had a song that said, "Let the church roll on." There's a verse in it that I get a kick out of today. I don't know what would go on with all the cosmetics available today. But the verse said, "There's women in the church with powder on the face. What are you going to do? Take a rag and wipe it off, let the church roll on." Now, I don't know where that says that in Daniel, but that's what Flatt and Scruggs said. Let the church roll on. Quickly, I want to mention three ways the church just must roll on. I want to spend as much time on the first point as the other two put in together, because they don't really matter if the first point's not there in the first place. Let the church roll on because of her past. You think about, you young people, think about the chapter 2 business. Daniel chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 2, Acts chapter 2. Daniel said he'll set up that kingdom that'll never be destroyed. Daniel 2:44. Isaiah 2, 1 to 4, about the, it's going to be from the hilltops, the mountaintops, this special place, and men will say, "Let's go unto it." And then just as Jesus had promised in Matthew 16:18 that even the gates of Hades, death itself, will not be able to prevail against it. The Holy Spirit was sent to those apostles, Acts 2, 1 to 4. And on that birthday of the church, as they spoke the word of God, as the Spirit gave them utterance, because of their beautiful plan, she needs to roll on. Because of their beautiful organization, she needs to roll on. By example and command, God meant for it to be two or more elders over one and only one congregation. We have never improved on that plan. Acts 20:28, it talks about the elders at Ephesus, an example for us. By way of command, 1 Timothy 3, 1-7, Titus 1, 5-9. He said, for example, to Titus, to ordain elders in every city. Because of her worship in the past, she needs to roll on today. They had music in the church. It's vocal music. Ephesians 5:19 is typical. No record of it being found otherwise till several years after the New Testament church. singing and making melody in their hearts to the Lord. There must have been some praying since they continued steadfastly within it. Acts 2:42. That was a matter of teaching, Acts 27. Paul preached unto them. The partaking of the Lord's Supper. When they'd come together, that verse says, on the first day of the week to break bread. The saying developed rather early. There was no Sunday without the supper, and there was no supper without the Sunday. Every Lord's Day, just as surely as Sunday came around, they had that Lord's table. Paul knew they would as he tarried there in the city of Troas. That was also the giving of means. 1 Corinthians 16, 1-2. We need to appreciate and allow the church to roll on in the present because of its work in the past. I receive a number of church bulletins, which I'm grateful. I try to read most of them. It's hard sometimes. One of my favorites, the week or two ago, they printed out the basic works the congregation was doing. Had a list, two columns wide. I believe it's something like 64 different works in which that congregation was involved at that time. Probably most of these could be grouped under one of three headings. As you would list off these 64 or 164. In the past, the church was involved in evangelism. One of the good prayers is mentioned this morning. Jesus gave the marching orders, as you know, in Matthew 28:18-20, to take the gospel to the world. I expect I've heard 947 excuses why we can't do it. But God has never erased those words. They're still there. After his resurrection, you remember in Acts 1:6-8, the theme of that beautiful book. They asked, are you going to restore the kingdom here to Israel this time? He said, no, it's not for you to know these things. Go to Jerusalem and wait. They're still thinking about an earthly kingdom. You'll receive power from on high. Verse 8, the theme verse of the book of Acts. As you receive this power from on high, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. The rest of the book of Acts carries out that theme verse. They were his witnesses in Jerusalem, Acts 2. In all Judea and Samaria, Acts 8. The Gentiles were brought into the household of Cornelius, Acts 10:11. And then they were ready to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. Three great missionary journeys and then the voyage to Rome. Acts 13:14, the first journey. AD 47-48. Acts 16-18, the second journey. Rounded off numbers. AD 49-51. Acts 19-21, the third journey. AD 52-57. And then 22-28. Taking the gospel of that imperial capital city of Rome itself. Some evidently had developed the idea Paul is afraid to come to Rome. He's the apostle of the Gentiles, yet he's never done this. The capital city of the Gentiles. Romans 1, he says, I'm not afraid to come to Rome. The truth of the matter is, I'm ready. I'm ready, I'm anxious, as some of the paraphrases might put it. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth. The Jew first and also the Greek. Romans 1:16. The book of Colossians was written somewhere between AD 60 and 62. Basically 30 years after Calvary. Paul says in Colossians 1:23 that the gospel had been preached to the world. They believed and they practiced evangelism. As long as we place upon our buildings and out signs for the highway, Church of Christ, we've got to believe and practice evangelism. Maybe a good radio program as you have here in this city. Such a good bargain sounds to me like, as far as the price is concerned. Maybe some other method, several other methods. But the gospel needs to be preached. the whole wide world. That early church also had the work of benevolence. I doubt that ever entered their minds there was some kind of competition between evangelism and benevolence. Some of the things that went on back in the 50s among our people. The Bible talks about in some of the earliest descriptions of the early church, Acts 2:44, for example, the matter of benevolence. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Somebody says, well, that's not communism. Well, what is it? It means you look out for the other person. You reach out to the downtrodden. Help to lift him up and get started again. People in South Carolina and other places are going to need some of that the next few days. The hurricanes come through in the recent hours. I'm just 48 years old, but I can remember when the word neighbor was a beautiful word. You're going to commend somebody highly. Maybe the person had died and you're trying to say something out of respect for the dead. You might hear somebody say around the casket, he was mighty neighborly. That's just about as high as you could go with a compliment. Has a great deal to do with what a great preacher said one time, therefore all things, whatsoever you would that man should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7:12. Outside of our Lord, Paul was the evangelist of evangelists. And yet that third missionary journey took more time, AD 52 to 57 approximately. So much of that time for this great evangelist was spent in what we call today the Great Collection. As he gathered up funds for these Gentile Christians to help the Jewish people. 2 Corinthians 8 through 9 dwells on this. 1 Corinthians 16:1 to 2 talks about it. You be ready, that there be no gatherings when I come. He said, therefore, I have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those of the household of faith, Galatians 6:10. James says, make sure that you reach out and have a special concern for the widow and orphan, because God's concerned about them. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit. You know what that means. It means to take care of. To look after, I guess would be the literal translation. To look after. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. To keep himself unspotted from the world. A third function of that church in the past that sometimes gets lost in the shuffle, in addition to evangelism and benevolence, is edification. We don't use that word much anymore. It's a beautiful word. It just simply means to build up, to encourage. Try to say, come on, brother, we can make it with the help of the Lord. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, Philippians 4:13. It's what Christ wants done. The Bible has three chapters on the various roles in the church as far as the church as a body. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. It must be important. Ephesians 4:11-12, Paul said, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I enjoy my work in Henderson, Tennessee, most of it, about 90% of the time, which is good. Enjoy that much of it. Bible faculty now in the 15th year, now chairman of the Bible department, 8th year. One thing good about being chairman of a Bible department is you've got an advisory board that can tell you what to do everything. Before 9 o'clock in the morning sometimes, you have been told exactly how to run the church and a few other things, including Fleet Ottoman College. Well, it can bother you a little. To back up and smile. I had a person some time ago who was getting after me pretty well. He was saying some pretty harsh things. We already knew one another. So I just let him talk on. He said, among several other things, why I told so-and-so about you that they're not much substance to you. You go around smiling a lot, but that's a trick. You go around doing this or that or the other, saying, now come on, people, let's do it. We can make it. Let's keep on going. So about all there ever will be about you, flat, is you're just a cheerleader. Well, that bothered me a little bit. He talked about how I didn't have any substance at all, just a cheerleader. Went on to my Polish wife. It really bothered her. She didn't care much about it. But I was sitting there in the swing, just thinking a little bit. Let's just suppose I'm a cheerleader, and that's all I'll ever be. But if I could just encourage you to keep on going and make it, even if I don't, my time will be well spent. Paul said, edifying one another. Everywhere I travel, that seems to be needed. I hear people just tearing each other to shreds, destroying homes, destroying congregations, tearing down schools, many other good works. I guess it was needed in the first century. Paul said, do it. I know it's needed in the 20th century. The devil will see to it that there'll be enough criticism supplied for everybody. Let the church roll on in the present. Somebody says, oh, they were great preachers back in so-and-so. They all died. They're all gone. Lady told me the other day, he said, they're not a good young preacher I know of anywhere. Said, do you? Well, I could name two or three. I didn't think she was listening anyway. It may have been my wrong judgment. But I thought, Lord, there's enough work to do today without getting into all of that. There's some good people, young and old, still on this earth. I've slept in their homes. I've walked with them. They're the salt of the earth and light of the world. Just as surely as your name is what it is. Matthew 5:13-16. They're just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. No, we're not perfect. We never will be perfect. Romans 3:23. But we know who he is. And we need to keep on going in that path. But in spite of our imperfections, you just follow me, and with all my frailties, I can still lead you to the one who is perfect. And you follow him. You know the name of Norman Hogan? Been over 10 times with campaigns, the wonderful Southside congregation here in St. Louis. I don't know how much you know the name of Gordon Hogan. You may know it well. He grew up just across the river over here in Illinois. Left there as a young boy, young man, got a good job down in Florida. He decided he wanted to be a missionary. When I think of the continent of Asia, I can't help but think of Gordon Hogan. He's a smaller man than I am by an inch or two. But over there in Singapore now, he spent over 30 years on the mission field. He has preached in exactly 50 nations. Gordon and Jane Hogan are asleep, I guess, now. It's 1:20 in the morning on Sunday morning in Singapore, 13 hours ahead of here. They'll go to the Maumain Road Church of Christ, Lord willing, just a little while. Large gathering. Because they've been the salt of the earth and light of the world and said, follow me as I follow Christ. I think of the Roy Palmers in Africa. What used to be Rhodesia, out there at Noe Mission, grades kindergarten through high school, primary school, secondary school, train these young men especially, take them out in the bush country and preach on Sunday, maybe all weekend long. There are a lot of people never heard the name of Roy Palmer. Jaxie Palmer and their 8 children, they went to mission field with. But the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's heard of them. He's well acquainted with them. I think in UFO Otis and Alma Gatewood and now Sister Irene Gatewood. Great pioneer work done, especially after the Second War. Still continuing today. So many things going behind the Iron Curtain because of Otis Gatewood and his family. Down in South America, Belo Horizonte, Brazil, 6 families be meeting in the morning, Lord willing. Belo Horizonte means beautiful horizon in Portuguese, their language. Just a little while, went through a Christian college, so we're going to the mission field, do the best we can. Over 200 people, Lord willing, will gather in that downtown building as they worship God there in beautiful South America. F.H. Gates, one of the leaders from Canton, Ohio. In North America, where would you begin? All the good people that have come and gone. But we cannot, as the Hebrew writer says, we cannot forget them. We're compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses. Down south here in one of my favorite places to work gospel meetings in the Boot Hill of your Show Me State, there's a town called Burney. In that town, Roy and Mamie Hufford live. They're sharecroppers. But Roy couldn't read or write. They'd chop cotton all day and then they'd take a bath in a wash tub at night and go hear the gospel. He didn't have television to clutter up his mind. So he just kept listening to that old Jerusalem gospel over and over as the pioneer preachers preached it. He came home and continued to teach it to his children. Elsa, longtime president of Northeastern Christian College, now president emeritus. Elvis, longtime missionary, among other places, Nigeria. Everett, 13 years in the Middle East. Their sister Evelyn, married to a missionary to Nigeria. These people just made out of clay. But they did some things right. And we need to let the church roll on in the present. Number three, if we allow it to roll on in the past and roll on in the present, God will see to it that it'll roll on in the future. Paul said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is also the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5:23. Ephesians 5:27, he tells what he's going to do with that body. I hear people minimizing the body of Christ, even though Christ's blood was shed for it, Acts 20:28. Well, think about Ephesians 5:27, that he might present it to himself, on the day of judgment, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. About three meetings ago, a man said to me, he said, hey, how you join this church? That's what he said. I said, well, the Lord adds us to the church, Acts 2:47. The way you get in it is the way it's always been. So you believe Jesus, wasn't you? I said, yeah, I believe Jesus. Jesus says there's hearing, John 8:32. Believing, John 8:24. Repenting, Luke 13:3. Confessing, Matthew 10:32, and being baptized, Matthew 28:19. What do the apostles think about that? How much disagreement do they have with him? Not any. They said hearing, Romans 10:17, believing, Hebrews 11:6, repenting, Acts 17:30, confessing, Romans 10:10, and being baptized, Romans 6:1-6. There may be one or more here this morning, this afternoon, that needs to respond and say, I'm coming to the cross. That's where salvation is found. That's the way it was in the first century. That's the way it is in 1989. If you're young or you're old, we love you. Have no idea in this world when we might see you again. So we plead with you. If you need to respond to the Lord in any way, to do that even right now, as together we stand and sing.
I am coming to the cross. I am poor and weak and blind. I am counting all the dross. I shall full salvation find. I am trusting, Lord, in Thee. Blessed Lamb of Calvary, humbly at Thy cross I bow, seeking Thy salvation now. Long my heart has sighed for Thee, long has evil reigned within. Now my message comes to me, I will cleanse Thee from all sin. I am trusting, Lord, in Thee. Blessed Lamb of Calvary, humbly at Thy cross I bow, seeking Thy salvation now. Gladly I accept Thy grace, gladly I obey Thy word. All Thy promises embrace, O my Savior and my Lord. I am trusting, Lord, in Thee. Blessed Lamb of Calvary, humbly at Thy cross I bow, seeking Thy salvation now.
Okay, I'll take care of that one, huh? There we go. Yeah, I've got that. Great. It occurs to me that probably during this weekend we have all thought at least one phrase that we all are afraid to use because it sounds so crazy, but I'm going to use it anyway. I would say we've probably all thought about the fact that these flat brothers are just flat good. And I have thoroughly enjoyed this, and I hope that you have too. A few announcements. You can't leave a meeting of the Churches of Christ without announcing, and so here we go. Let me let you know again about the tapes. If you ordered audio tapes and you want them, they will be ready 10 minutes after we dismiss today. And I don't see Gary, but do they pick them up over there? There's a door, the half door, you can stand in the hallway and they'll hand them to you over the door in this hallway. Audio tapes. Video tapes are going to be available. You need to get me a tape that will handle 6 hours worth of material and send it to me at the Arnold Church of Christ, and we'll duplicate it. When you send it, put your address on it, and we'll send it back to you. And the only thing it'll cost is you buying your own tape. So please send that if you want a video this particular weekend. All right, a number of other things that we need to talk about. First of all, these men, three of them, will be staying over, but the Don Flatt is going to be speaking here at the West End Building, services at 9 and 10. After the AM service tomorrow, there's going to be a potluck dinner in the fellowship room. Burdell Flatt will be with us at Arnold. We also have services at 9 and 10. Bill is going to be out at Charbonne Karen in St. Charles. Do you meet at 9 and 10? Also, Willie Murray. Yes, 9 and 10. Scriptural times, how we do it. And Lehman has got to leave. He's going to Chattanooga, so he'll be flying out this afternoon around 5 or so. Will you be at Red Bank by chance?
Dunlap,
okay. Okay. So there will be three of them in the area, and so if you can be at any one of those, don't forsake where you usually go necessarily, but be glad to hear them. Concerning the lectureship of 1990, we try to stay ahead of time because we try to bring in well-known people that book their schedules up quite far ahead of time. Next year's lectureship is going to be very special, we hope, because we're planning to have the lectureship based on the theme of men who have been preaching for 50 years or more. And we already have three that are confirmed. Brother Guyon Woods will be here. Brother Gus Oath, Brother J.M. Powell.
We haven't yet been able to get in touch with Brother Flavel Nichols, and we hope that we'll be able to get him. The three of these have already been confirmed. Please put that on your calendar so that you will also be a part.